Welcome back to TechNet Radio. In part 4 of our Windows Azure IaaS series, Matt Hester welcomes Microsoft MVP Jeffrey Palermo to the show as they compare the features and benefits of Amazon Web Services, Rackspace, and Windows Azure Infrastructure as a Service. Tune in as they chat candidly about user experiences between the three, as well as which capabilities stand out in Azure versus its competitors. Matt, the mic is yours.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're dialing in onto this another episode of TechNet Radio where we're going to talk about IaaS. Today I have the wonderfully talented Jeffrey Palermo, and you might have been to his party if you've been to TechEd. Yes, this is one and the same. So Jeff, why don't you say hello to the folks?
Howdy. Great weather here in Austin, Texas. We've got a nice cold front coming through in the beginning of May, so can't complain.
Yeah, we're down to like 50 or 60, so it's cold. When I was talking to my general manager in Minneapolis, with snow on the ground. So, yeah, I might just sit by the fire with the park on today.
Right.
It's kind of cold. So, anyways, so, Jeff, for the folks that don't know you, why don't you tell them a little bit who you are? I know you're an MVP, so talk a little bit about that and who you're currently working for. And then we're going to talk about some cloud services that you've worked with in the past and what you're looking to do with Azure in the future.
Sure. I'm very grateful to have received the MVP award each year since 2006. C#, the solution architect track with patterns and practices, and now currently ASP.NET and IIS. I'm currently a managing partner with ClearMeasure Incorporated, and we do software development, integration, DevOps on top of Azure, cloud migrations, as well as total outsource to provide custom systems using the software as a service model. And internally, we run our data centers on Azure, and then give the clients a seamless SaaS experience for their custom systems.
So we talk a lot about SaaS, but I think you brought up one of the key words that I know Brian Prince have talked about is around DevOps, because that bright shiny line between an IT kind of an environment and developers is really kind of going away. So the cloud is, I think, one of the key enablers for that. So you've kind of seen the different cloud technologies that are out there. You and I were talking before we started recording. We were talking about Rackspace versus Amazon Services, AWS, Amazon Web Services, and Azure. Can you talk about your experience with AWS and Rackspace, and then kind of we'll talk about Azure after that?
Sure. As everyone knows, Amazon is the first to the table with this these cloud offerings, and it came out of a special need. They built up this huge Amazon.com website and data center, and then they had extra capacity, and they figured, you know what, we could sell slices of this to people. And so now they have just dozens of different cloud features, load balancers, EC2 for virtual machines, both Linux and Windows, and so they were really the first to the table. And anyone who's been paying attention to this space knows about Amazon Web Services and all the different things they provide. We've also used Rackspace even before they started their OpenStack initiative. They started with what they call Rackspace Cloud, just providing VMs essentially, and then being able to layer on a few different services and storage on top of that. Have quite a bit of experience using Rackspace's servers as well, because they provide so much human support on top of their cloud offerings, and that's what really Rackspace is known for, fanatical support. And so they have premium packages on top, and I've been involved as a actual Rackspace partner, as well as Microsoft partner, but used all the different cloud providers, and now I'm so impressed over the last year and 6 months, and even since the beginning of 2013, the pace at which Azure has not only caught up with these other two that moved before Microsoft really moved in a serious way, has not only caught up with them, but in my estimation, is well on the way to competing heavily and leaving them in the dust ultimately, and that's not a small reason why ClearMeasure is basically betting the farm on Windows Azure as far as our business model goes.
Well, and first off, thank you for saying that. I think it's one of those things that's why I want to talk to you about it, because you've seen this industry shift and change. And when we talk about IT pros, and we talk about going to the cloud, they're going to see all these different choices that are out there. So we think about some of the pace of growth that you mentioned with Azure. What are some of the maybe the top two or three things that you've seen that have kind of really changed the game and how Azure became an option? Because sometimes when we release technologies at Microsoft, it just doesn't have some of the technical capabilities that we need. But you looking at Amazon versus Rackspace versus Azure, what were some of those two to three features you went, wow, I didn't know we could do that? That really kind of changed your opinion on why you would choose Azure and why you're betting your business and, you know, a longtime MVP status. I mean, this is not a trivial thing that you're looking at Azure to help you with. And we don't want it to go away, you know, and I don't want you to lose any end status. And I want your business to thrive, of course. So what are some of those things that you're betting everything on?
Sure, sure. Well, let me throw a little bit of a philosophy in there. 13 years ago, there was this new movement that really was starting to get traction, and you might have heard of it. It's called Agile. And the contrast was, in the waterfall world, software was taking too long. We had projects that were going multi-year, or we're starting a project and we're going to spend 6 months thinking and talking about what we might do, and then we get into doing something and the business has changed. And so largely the software and development and IT space has been transformed by this idea around Agile. And to some extent, it's been hyped up pretty well, and at least everyone knows someone who's gotten a Scrum Master certification, and it's pretty much in the normal lexicon these days. And I think that the cloud is really the last mile for Agile. Largely the industry has transformed the way we think about doing software development, from making every decision up front to bobbing and weaving and adjusting to things as we learn along the way, even to the point of a lot of people fully embracing emerging architecture and iterative architecture. And when you take that development style and then you couple it to a infrastructure capability where you still have to plan for a fixed capacity and place an order with either your IT department or some IT vendor, and then you have to wait 3 weeks or 3 months, and then it gets put in, and then you realize that you want to adjust it or upgrade the RAM or change the disk configuration, and then you have to put in another request. They don't mesh well. And what Azure provides, and the whole notion of cloud, where you literally log into a website or write some scripts against a cloud provider, what it provides is the Agile infrastructure. And so it really closes the loop on an organization's ability to plan to do something with their software and literally do it without any of these roadblocks in the way or having lead times inserted upon. They can make any change in decision or direction, and the infrastructure doesn't stand in the way. It's the completely flexible data center. It's an Agile data center. And so from a philosophy standpoint, that's how I see it. And I see it as the new normal in IT infrastructure and how we manage our data centers. Yeah. And that's how I see it. That's where I see the industry going. That's the trend that I see. And I can dissect the different offerings too, but that's the direction I see it going in.
Well, and I think from a standpoint, I think one of the important things being an IT pro is that the days of a developer going to write their code and they throw it over the fence 6 months later where they didn't know, where the IT pro didn't know anything that was happening. They didn't even know that that developer was writing an app to solve a problem for that business. Mm-hmm. Those days are going down, and I think Agile started breaking down those barriers where we had to almost have that forced collaborations. And so when that app came out, we had all the proper configurations in our network, the firewalls were open and so on. And now you're right, because the cloud takes that to another step, because now instead of months, or days or weeks to wait for a server, we're talking minutes. We're talking in the frame of 10 to 15 minutes, and you have this infrastructure and this environment stood up to support whatever that app is ultimately trying to do. And I think you have to be on board with your IT department and development department. They all have to be on the same page to make it work. So when you look at Azure, what are some things that are really helping enabling that scenario?
So let me – I followed Azure since it first came out, and so I'll go all the way back to that, where it was web role and worker role. And really since Scott Guthrie has taken over Azure, it's accelerated beyond belief. But when it first came out, it was web role and worker role and blob storage and table storage. And we were talking about what SQL Azure might be. And it was very difficult to jam your existing applications into the web role and the worker role. And when I say that, knowing how the technology works, no, it's not really difficult. Actually, it was quite simple because a worker role is just a Windows server and a web role is just an ASP.NET site running on IIS. And so from a technical perspective, it mapped very easily. But from the way the industry works and from the way that programmers and companies, large and small, operate, they have existing code bases that are ASP Classic, that are various versions of ASP.NET, ASP.NET MVC, all the way going back to what I started with in 1997 was IDC and HTX technology running on top of ODBC data sources on NT4. So that was, you know, right before active server pages, but guess what? It's backward compatible all the way to that. And web role and worker role, we had this dream of platform as a service where I didn't have to think about the notion of what a server was and automatic scale. And ultimately, the architects of that concept were right, but the world wasn't ready yet. And everyone had so much inertia and so much momentum in the concept of a server. The way they thought about software, the way software is you have a process. That process is running on a Windows server. It's the operating system. That server is running in a data center somewhere, and it's hooked up to an internet connection. Those are the concepts that we work with. And so throwing in a reality where we say, no, forget about what you know to be true. There is no server.
The Jedi there mind trick no for servers.
Right.
These aren't the servers you're looking for.
Right. And ultimately, that's where we're going to end up, but the world's going to move a little bit slower. So infrastructure as a service, the good old, let me spin up a regular Windows server, let me remote desktop in it, and let it look and feel exactly as if it was in my company's data center. That right there gets the huge traction and momentum and migration to the cloud that we see going on right now. And not only for regular Windows servers, but for SQL Server databases as well, and for drive letters.
Well, and I think ultimately that's kind of where you want to go, because also sometimes it gives those, because one of the things we tried with early on with the platform services was the ability to have a VM role, which is what infrastructure service became, but it was stateless. In other words, if you made changes to configuration and that server got reset, you had to create some kind of funky script to make that all happen again as that server rebooted. So I think infrastructure as a service does provide that stopgap, not only from an application platform to get people into that area, but more importantly, from an IT pro perspective, it really provides me the server that's in my environment that's completely manageable by me as an IT pro. I can configure it and make sure it adheres to the standards that I have governed for my data center, whatever they may be. Sometimes those web roles and those worker roles may not be to the standards that I have, maybe for security or compliance or whatever else I have inside my organization. And so when I think of IaaS, I think it's not only just a stopgap for that, but I think it's something that's going to be around for quite some time, even if you just look as simple as, hey, that's an environment I can back up to, and now I have almost an instant disaster recovery center that I didn't have to go buy this big metal building and some far-off location and ship all my data to. I can just send it to the cloud and have it there. Is that what you're seeing as well?
You're absolutely right. What makes Azure IaaS work is that the concepts map one-to-one to how they're already managing their data centers. For instance, I've got a Windows server. I've got a SQL Server database. I have a storage area network that has some drive letters that are available to some particular servers. Those are the concepts that we work with all the time. There's network segments, VLANs. There is a VPN coming in either, you know, point to point from one data center to another, or maybe as a administrator, I have to VPN into the production network in order to access fully all the ports. But essentially, infrastructure as a service creates the data center that we know right now up in the cloud, where we don't have to worry about disks going bad or anything else physical going wrong.
Yeah, so that's something that's great about Windows Azure IaaS is that I think what people forget, and they think, yeah, it's up in the cloud, Jeff, but you mentioned it. It's just like your data center. It's really fundamentally no different than any other server. You got to manage it, patch it, back it up. You got to treat it like that. And I think that's what we're really trying to target our services to be, that this is just like your data center. Because I think one of the things that separates us from our other competitors in Amazon and Rackspace is that this is your VHD file. When you stand a server up in IaaS and you're using our virtual machines, you can bring that back down to your on-premise data center, and it runs in Hyper-V. It's just another virtual server that we can bring down in our environment. So the portability is very important. Now, when you work with customers, do you see that as something that's kind of nice to have where they can make that choice of, hey, I'm going to run it up in the cloud to maybe solve a workload? Like, for example, maybe it's a tax company on April 15th here in the States. You know, we need to have all that data and have scalability, but after that, I want to pull it back down and run it on-premise to save some of those costs. Do you see some of that hybrid deployment working in the industry today?
So I've heard some of those case studies about things like that happening and being supported. And for instance, Domino's Pizza, you know, drastically scaling up to keep up with Super Bowl Sunday on their website. Our customers typically aren't the heavy spike. Let's change it and pull it back to our data center and push it up. I think it's really important that capability exists so that no one fears that once they move into Azure, they're locked and there's no way to possibly get it back to the data center. So I think it's important to have that capability, while at the same time, we tend not to rely on it so much because our customers need the technology and they need custom software running seamlessly for them, but technology is sort of a distraction for them. They might just need it to be running as opposed to spending a whole lot on having a data center or on an operations team. And you know, one client that's a complete software as a service shop, they need an engineering team, but they don't really want to have the operations competency in-house. So having us operate their software on top of Azure is even a benefit, even as they maintain an in-house engineering team to keep their product going forward. So we see different combinations, but long story short, nobody wants to get a text message and then have to walk over and replace a hard drive.
Yeah, nobody likes that, especially when they hear the clicky noise. And it's kind of something that Brian Prince talked about in one of our very first episodes. It's almost the old Edison with DC versus Tesla and AC argument again. It's because you know you're either in a generator business or you're not, and I think cloud is quickly becoming that alternative for folks who are doing. But ultimately, I don't think people are ever going to get rid of those on premises because the cloud's not for everything. So, what are some of the common workloads you see that some of your customers, I know from a software development, are looking to do, or what are some of the things that you're excited that's coming with Azure? Some of the things that you see coming down the pipeline that kind of go, ooh, I didn't know. Ooh, that's even. I can't wait till that's out of technical preview. What are some things that you see coming with Azure?
Well, for one thing, I think it's very simple and it's very easy to reason about. It's agile infrastructure, and so when we talk about workloads, it's the same old stuff. I've got an ASP.NET website. I need to run it on IIS, or I've got some batch jobs. Whether or not they're actually doing batch processing or they're, say, in-service bus responding to messages on a queue and processing those messages. Something's running as a Windows service, and I've got a SQL Server database. Or I've got a file repository with a drive map because my application allows for the uploading of documents and maybe downloading of Word documents with a record injected into, you know, a tokenized template. So it's the same stuff that everyone's already used to running in their own data center. And so with IaaS, you don't have to think differently about what your application does. The concepts are a one-to-one match, and that's what makes it so simple to use the IaaS features because it's just servers. Servers can run IaaS, servers can run Windows services, and if you really need something special, you can run SQL Server on a virtual server or just use the built-in SQL databases while they're still getting some of the features integrated there. But there's a lot of other features that are brand new. For instance, websites, mobile services, of course the storage, SQL reporting, service bus, media services, Active Directory. Those are all going to take a little bit of time to have more uptick because those are new concepts. The concept of using Active Directory as a service, or the concept of a service bus that isn't really installable and runnable on your local developer machine, you know, as just a regular EXE. Those are going to take a little bit more time for people to convert over. But, you know, over the next several years, when people build new systems, they're going to build the new systems and create the architecture based on the infrastructure that is available to them. So today's systems are not built using those concepts. They're built using websites, Windows services, and a database, and some file repository. Those are the concepts that today's systems have, and so that those are the concepts that are used when pushing those and running those systems perfectly in Windows Azure. The new things that Windows Azure provides, you know, mobile services being one of the really interesting things, those are going to be used by new systems and applications being built today because they're available. It's really, really difficult and expensive to modify the architecture of an application to take advantage of some new infrastructure that didn't exist when the original architecture was laid out. And so it'll be a while for the uptick of the new things, but it's so important that we have a one-to-one mapping of these IaaS capabilities so that we don't have to make a choice of, well, I can run new things in Azure, but yeah, all the existing stuff, yep, it has to stay on servers at my office.
Yep, well, and I think that's important, is that we get some of those blocking and tackling. The one that I'm excited about, and you, I think you saw it before I did, because they changed the IaaS portal on us, and we, if I don't log in every day and take a look, it seems like there's a new feature that comes up. Because we, you know, in one of the webcasts, I think Keith and I talked about site-to-site VPN and how it would work and how you'd connect your on-premise to the cloud, but we just got a new one, Jeff, and you said you actually played with it, the personal. It was like the personal site, my own little content, kind of my own little content. What was your experience with that? Because I have yet to experience it, and I know you played with it, and it just out. I mean, I think we're like a couple days ago.
Right, so the feature is point-to-site VPN. And when you and I had dinner and talked about it, I had no idea that it was already in the works and was already going to come out. I was talking to you about it because it was so obvious. It was just the obvious thing that was needed. How could we not have a virtual data center without Windows VPN? Right, site-to-site VPN is great between offices as a way to connect to networks, but you know, I've got my laptop, I'm roaming around, and I need to open up a VPN client and just connect into where my servers are. I mean, that concept has been around data centers forever, right?
Yep, so it's just one of those things that we have to do on-premise, we have to do in the cloud.
Absolutely. The things that we are used to doing in a regular data center, all of those concepts, we just have to have them. So I'm glad that the Azure team has released that, and I saw a blog post from Scott Guthrie outlining it, and I played with it earlier today, actually, and got it up and running. I haven't finished the configuration, but just looking at the steps, very quickly, just follow the steps. You know, I think there's five steps, and then you just connect your Windows workstation to your network segment up in Azure, and this is the scenario that actually, working at a large enterprise early in my career, we didn't even have that in the enterprise. I remember opening up the Network Explorer and literally seeing hundreds of servers on the network that, by the way, I didn't have access to, but they were there, right?
Yeah.
Why was I on the same network segment as all of the servers that I had no business accessing? Well, with Azure, let's say the system only takes two servers. That's fine. Let's say the system takes eight servers or 12 servers or however many servers. You take those servers and you create your virtual network. You put all those servers in that one virtual network, and then you create a point-to-site VPN for the network that all those servers happen to be in. By doing that, you don't have to expose the remote desktop port or protocol to the open internet. Instead, you can just keep it secret, your own little private local network segment. Then just connect your Windows computer, use a regular VPN client. Now you're VPNing it. Instead of VPNing into your data center, you have a little bit better segmentation. You VPN into your system's environment. You have a custom software system that takes two servers, eight servers, doesn't matter. You VPN into that software systems environment. And now once you're established, once you have that VPN connection established, you got open, you know, full port access to all those servers really, really easy. Knowing that none of those things are exposed to the open internet, not even remote desktop.
Yeah, and I think that's an important concept. Sometimes people think, yeah, the cloud is up on a public space, but that by no means means you have to make those servers public. You might just want a VPN for maybe just that's where the storage location is for your backups that's never going to be public facing, you know, like I might make for a website or a mobile service. I don't have to do that kind of stuff. And when I think about it from an IT perspective, what I love about it is that I no longer have to rely on those built-in endpoints, and I can VPN in, bring up my remote server administration tools, and then I'm admining that environment just like I would a regular data center instead of, you know, because those days we've had to do, right? I mean, the days of standing at the little terminal inside the cool, you know, the 65-degree data center and standing up and managing that little itty-bitty keyboard, people have, you know, they want to do it on the devices that they use at their desktops. And quite frankly, that's the best way to admin an environment is be remote. And we're just providing those key things. And I was excited to see it. And I know I hadn't had a chance to play with it, but you did. So thank you for sharing your experience with that. So with that said, what else can you say about the cloud? We'll wrap up the show here, Jeff. What else are you excited about coming down the road or anything you got exciting coming up? I know we got a user group coming up here in a little bit. You're inviting me down for in Austin. But what else you got kind of coming up? Anything exciting?
So on May 13th is the first meeting of a brand new user group in Austin, Texas called Azure Austin. And it's going to meet at the Austin Microsoft office. Matt, you graciously accepted an invitation to be the presenter for that first meeting. We have a great sponsor named Veeam that does virtual and cloud backups. They've agreed to sponsor the meeting, provide food, drink, and a cash gift card giveaway for everyone. I'm really excited to start the new user group. I spent 5 years running the Austin.NET user group and also helped to start a user group in town called Agile Austin, which is going strong, has quite a few SIGs. I've spoken at the Austin Cloud user group. I was at the DevOps Days conference in Austin just earlier this week, volunteering and helping that conference out. So those are things coming up. Also, recently I have had my third child. She's still fairly new, so unfortunately I will not be at the Tech Ed conference this year. Because I somehow I got roped in early on and I made the commitment, we're doing a party with Palermo at the DevTeach conference in Toronto, Canada, the last week of May. So I couldn't have another week away at Tech Ed, you know, so close. So that's just how the chips fall. Sorry about that, Matt. But
I was going to get invited this year. I had a connection, and now I don't get to leverage it. Man, I feel robbed. Yeah. I feel robbed, Jeff. I do.
You can come up to Toronto. But anyway, so let's see. I wanted to just touch on how Azure and the cloud is changing the role of development and changing the role of operations. And, you know, Amazon started this whole cloud movement of virtual infrastructure. You got to give them credit for that. But one thing that Microsoft has always done better than any other vendor is create tools that are very easy to use. The developer tools are unmatched. And as much as you can point to other cloud providers and say, oh, well, they provide this feature, or they provide this function, or they provide this capability, yeah, you can go down a feature list and say, yeah, okay, direct comparison, it provides it. But Microsoft has always been head and shoulders above other vendors when it comes to integrating the tools and making it a seamless process and shrinking the time to accomplish the common tasks. Things like, let me create a new website and add some functionality and deploy it. I mean, it's amazing at how few clicks and how few minutes you can do some of these things. And you know, one of the new features, I launched the Azure Austin website using WordPress on Azure websites, as would be appropriate. And then I saw a new button pop up in the portal, open website in WebMatrix. So I clicked on it. Automatically it's opening WebMatrix and pulling down the code and opening up the PHP WordPress site right there on my computer. I was just floored. The integration that is going into Azure to extend the Visual Studio and other development tools into what is now becoming the new data center model, it's just amazing. And so it's changing. It's fundamentally changing how businesses have to think about IT operations. No longer are we looking for skill sets for people who understand how to spec out the internals of a server and know how many buses, PCI controllers, RAID controllers, was it RAID 1, 5, 10, what do we need here? How many drives, disk space, I mean, just all that stuff, how to screw things together, ribbon cables, how to rack it up, how to do proper cable management on the back of the racks. Just all those things are now, one, they're becoming commoditized, and that's not a bad thing. That means that all the smart people who know how server infrastructure and data center operations need to happen, all those smart people can provide so much more value and productivity managing these cloud providers and the virtual environments. And so those jobs don't go away. It's we're getting more productivity from those roles because now they're becoming DevOps, and that is, okay, no longer are we going to walk up to a server and pull out that keyboard and open it up and modify it. Instead, we're going to write scripts to change the server configuration, to spin up a server, spin down a server, add Windows features and roles to a particular server. And so it's modifying a whole lot of walking around in a data center, opening up the keyboard or remote desktop and click. Now it's adding a whole lot more scripting to that role, but also taking away so many tasks that just sucked up the day, that were repetitive, and now they're unnecessary. And so the IT pro is transforming into the DevOps role. So, you know, they're going to more dev when it comes to understanding custom software systems and scripting. And then developers, you know, some of them are you know, taking on some of the DevOps and operational roles, and some of them are just breathing a sigh of relief that there's a less lead time when they ask for a server.
Yeah, when I think what you're bringing up is an important point, because I think initially, and I think people are finally starting to understand that, because when the cloud first came out, it's like the cloud's going to take my job, and it's not. It's going to change how you
make the job better.
In some extent, it's going to make your job better, and I've been trying to get people to learn PowerShell forever. Now this is how you script in the Windows environment with over 2,000 commandlets. But I think that's something important you mentioned that I want to make sure people are really aware of. Cloud provides another resource for you, right? There's still going to be skills to do things on-premise. And our software, I'm glad you're really high on our software, and it just showcases what you've been doing in the industry. But our software is designed to play by itself if it wants to play by itself. But if we want to have that software play up in the cloud, it has those components. And sometimes with what you found with the website, it's as easy as a click of a button. And next thing you know, you're tying on-premise to cloud and you're working with those services as you would with any other application. It's just a matter of now semantics of where that data is stored or where that application or that website is stored. So with that, Jeffrey, I want to say thank you for taking time out of your busy day and wish you good luck down there in Austin. And I'll definitely see you in a couple weeks. When I head down there to work with you and your user group. And just want to say thank you to everybody for watching and listening to this episode of TechNet Radio. Thank you and have a great day.